RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time to talk geopolitics again with Dr. Greg Simons. He is an associate professor at Tarriba University, and he is well known now to this audience here at RCR. He taught at the Department of Peace and Conflict Research in his last job, namely a course on mass media and contemporary armed conflict, which is perfect. We're in the zone to talk about latest developments that are in the wheelhouse of Greg. Greg, welcome back to RCR.
Yep, cheers, Paul. Good to be back.
Okay, so the pages in the pockets of Hezbollah, what, fighters, operatives, associates, do we know about what happened there? It sounds like a dastardly move. Who set it up? Who was involved? What do we know?
It is a dastardly move, and it's got a global dimension. I mean, Snowden came in pretty quickly and fingered Israel for organizing it. But it's actually come to the surface that actually these pages were ordered by Hezbollah from a Taiwanese company called Gold Apollo. These pages did not originate locally, but from Taiwan, which apparently Israel has been cultivating a closer working relationship with on the basis of this kind of mutual facing existential threats. And that these pages, I didn't actually realize until the story came that people were still using these.
That actually got me too. What, you mean pages? Really?
Yeah. But it's understandable because Israel has a very sophisticated level of electronic warfare capability, which means that they can track and they can listen in on electronic communications such as cell phones, computers, these devices. So this is a way around that. But of course, now, I mean, this link with Taiwan's been exposed. So, I mean, I don't know what that's going to do for the island's reputation, but it's, if you're going to be buying electronic devices from these guys, I mean, you could be thinking twice. I mean, they've really hurt their own reputation and image as an exporter.
So first, Greg, there were the pages. Then came the walkie-talkies.
Oh, yes. Huh? Mm. Yeah, I mean, a continuing story, yeah. So, as we say, it began with those pages going off. And then, of course, walkie-talkies came into the issue. And, I mean, this is coming around yesterday. What we're saying, they're using these means which are have been traditionally more problematic to hack for Israelis, if we're looking at cell phones and things like that and other means of communication like that, they're much more vulnerable.
And I see that Al Arabiya TV channel has been showing photos that have been circulating online indicating that ICOM IC-V82 walkie-talkies made by Japanese radio manufacturer ICOM may have been the walkie-talkies that exploded. Do we look at these developments as the start of something? Are they isolated sort of James Bond-style attacks to make people feel insecure, destabilized and terrorized, let's say? Or does this, do you think, signify a bigger move coming?
Well, it suggests a couple of possibilities. I mean, the attacks themselves were designed for maximum casualties and psychological impact, that is to create a sense of fear and uncertainty. I mean, it's injured over 2,800 people. And I mean, these were indiscriminately going off everywhere. I mean, even the Iranian ambassador in Lebanon was wounded by one of these pages going off.
Wow.
So,
okay. Yeah.
It's an act of terrorism. Pure and simple. You've got a state actor acting perpetrating an act of terrorism, it violates all kinds of international norms and conventions. The second part, if you are trying to disable your opponent means of communication and coordination, this could suggest that this might be the prelude to a larger attack, especially if you put together the fact that this is not isolated from Netanyahu's attempts to get rid of Gilan, who is the obstacle to the expanded war in Lebanon.
Yeah, and the Houthis dropped a missile into Israel as well, got past the Iron Dome. I heard it reported as a hypersonic missile, which shows you what is available to them.
Yes. And I think this is, also indicative because the West has been arming the Ukrainians to the hilt with all kinds of missile systems. So this might also be a display. Okay, you do that to me, we can do that to you. Here goes a limited consequence. If you continue to do it, there'll be more. And, of course, hypersonic missiles, both Russia and China have it, but also, a lot of people underestimate Iran. Iran, I think in terms of AI, artificial intelligence, and these kinds of technologies is actually about number 10 and ranked about number 10 in the world. So, you have this image which is presented by the US that they're a bunch of fanatical Stone Age mullahs, but they are very far from being that. This can be from a number of potential sources.
You've got a population of over 80 million. There'll be some geniuses in there.
Yeah, well, there are a lot, actually. You have a very intellectual debate when you meet Iranians. They are a very cultured and intelligent people. And, you have a distinct difference between the religious elements and the secular elements. It's a very different people, and also a very interesting sense of humour, which is quite relatable.
Okay. How would you describe the sense of humour?
It's a bit of a dark sense of humour, so there's black humour, but you can, as a Kiwi, I can relate totally to how they do it.
Okay, so this attack using the pagers, using the walkie-talkies, we know that the Houthis were able to get a missile in to Israel, within the week?
Yeah.
And what looks like trying to get the U.S., because it would have to be the U.S. that comes in to support them in a larger conflict.
Indeed.
I mean, what more do they have to do? After this attack with the pages, what does Hezbollah do? They're not going to be happy.
No, they're not going to be happy. And, of course, that cannot go unanswered. A lot of people think, these things do go unanswered. For example, the expected Iranian counterstrike against Israel, which apparently has not materialized, but of course, if you scratch the surface, it already has, because they have had Israel on full alert for how long? With all of these things, it costs money. It takes, psychologically, it takes it out of you to be on constant full alert as long as they have been put on this. So, they're getting worn down, and, you just see the airports are getting choked with people leaving.
Mm, yeah, bailing
out. So, exactly, yeah.
It's just a slow escalation, is it? Because I guess if you're Iran, particularly Iran, like Russia is doing maybe, they're not doing anything too dramatic too quickly. It's just ratcheting up slowly, but it gets to a point at some point, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the reasons why Israel didn't have a larger go at Iran is because Russia has topped things up in terms of air defences. They are unable to do what they used to do with air assets, for example, these airborne attacks, because that have been upgraded a lot. I mean, this is why you had these military cargo planes going back and forth between
With the equipment, right, with the gear.
Yep. It's kind of reminiscent of those US and UK aircraft going to Israel. So, I mean, the West is starting to reap the benefits of its own stupid policy because they're getting countered in things which in the past were not done because you still had some sense of not this constant escalatory game of chicken.
It's interesting, the air defense systems now that we're becoming aware of in modern warfare and the, you know, the whole drone thing, the old Air Force assets really don't work anymore like they used to. You can have a whole lot of planes, a whole lot of fighters, F-35s, stealth fighters. And really, in the end, they're not much of an asset anymore. They're a liability. I mean, the F-16s, we'll get onto Ukraine in just a moment, that Ukraine have been calling for, and the wonder weapon status they've been given.
Yes.
It's yesterday's news, militarily, now, isn't it? That's gone. That whole Second World War, Vietnam era, the fighter jets and the bombers, they can't even get close anymore.
No. I mean, they have to wear down the opponent's system of air defense, surface-to-air defense. And, of course, there is some, operational use for them, because you see the Russians are using that, but because they have worn down Ukrainian air defense, so they're able to launch those heavy-duty aerial munitions which destroy whole blocks, etc. But the West has been used to having complete air supremacy and technological superiority, and now they no longer have this, either of these. So, it's a problem for them, especially given that, I mean, the West, it's a power, capability and capacity is related to maritime and air power and the combination of these two. And both of these are under threat due to rocket and missile technology, especially going into this hypersonic technology.
Let's get on to that conflict. It's like a menu of conflicts at the moment. This from Newsweek, Russian ammo depot, 1.8 kiloton blast, may be biggest single event in war. This is, about 200 miles out of Moscow. It was a Ukrainian drone, apparently, that got through to a missile storage warehouse. The figure I've seen, 30,000 tons of missiles stored there. So I think it even registered on Richter scales, the explosion.
It did. Yep.
I mean, how does Russia react? Well, it's Ukraine, obviously. Yeah. I wonder if they had more help. They say they don't comment on these things. But, that's a big hit on the Russian military, isn't it?
Well, it's one ammo depot. Of course, I mean, Russia still continues militarily to crush the Ukrainians in Kursk, in Kherson, as well as in Donbass. What this is, it's Toropets, which is a small settlement about 240 miles west of Moscow in Tver region. So if you look at Ukraine, it's way up north. And if you were to fly things from Ukraine, they would be detected and probably shot down. However, and I suspect this is what may well come out eventually, You've got Estonia and you've got Latvia borders much closer, which would you'd be able to fly the drones out of to launch the attack. So, I mean, this is an extremely dangerous and stupid game, if this is the case, because, I mean, it's just so far from Ukraine that we're talking about the range of the drones, plus also the fact that they'll be detected if they flew that far. I mean, Russian air defense is quite good, but if you're just over the border, because Tver is much closer to the Baltic states. Yeah, so, I mean, it's a lot of ammo. I mean, from the reports, no one has been killed, luckily, so no civilians, etc., killed. But it raises a lot of questions. But it also, I mean, Ukraine does this. I mean, Russia is going to do something back. So, I mean, what are they going to take out next? I mean, it's a stupid game that they keep on playing. I mean, it's not having a strategic effect on the battlefield. It might have some tactical effect, but it's not going to change the outcome of this war. And, I mean, it just escalates it. And Russia is able to escalate much more than Ukraine is able to do.
And Starmer's been in the US. He's not there now. I think he's been to Kyiv too, hasn't he? Or did I miss something there? Or the Lammy, the foreign minister of UK, went there with Blinken.
Yeah, Lammy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, that was, asking for some kind of permission, seemed like it anyway, to allow the Ukrainians to send Storm Shadow, sounds like something out of the Thunderbirds, Storm Shadow missiles into Russian areas, pre 2014 borders, I think was the limit on it. But Biden said, for now, and the US Defense Secretary, what's his name? They said no.
Yeah, Blinken, yeah. Oh, no, Austin, I should say.
Yeah. Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there seems to be a growing disagreement in the US decision-making circles, because it was not so long ago, and like if we go back 2 weeks, it was presented as being inevitable that permission was going to be given, that they were going to supply them with a whole lot of missiles. I don't know from where, considering the amount they've already sent. And this was a fait accompli. And now you're saying, well, we haven't said yes, we haven't said no, like this. So I think this is maybe in part the effect of that hypersonic missile launch from Yemen.
By the Houthis, yep.
I mean, it's no coincidence when Putin said, if you do this, you will be considered as being in direct conflict. I mean, they're already in direct conflict with Russia. Because, I mean, HIMARS and all of these missile systems, of course, are using Western intelligence assets to guide them, and they're using Western operators to operate them because they're complex systems. They can't be operated by Ukrainians who are not trained on them.
Well, the guy that you take off the street is not going to know
exactly
how to make
and
that
the point
work.
Is, they're using... And they're going into the US and NATO defense network to make these strikes. And are you going to trust that with the Ukrainian, considering how badly compromised in terms of human intelligence the Ukrainian armed forces are? No way would you do that.
And to finish up, just reported yesterday, Sky News I'm looking at, Ukraine-Russia war, Germany warns Moldova next in line if Ukraine falls. And apparently Zelensky says victory plan. Really? Victory plan is 90% ready. So the domino effect.
Oh, yeah. So we're going back to the 60s with this reason for getting into South Vietnam, you're reliving this whole domino thing again. I mean, it's rather stupid reasoning. And I mean, why go there? This domino theory has already been proven utterly inadequate. I mean, this is a psyop, psychological operations, pure and simple. And this is something which is also used in Zionist psyops. I mean, they've written extensively about it. If you're to shape the emotions and the actions of an audience, you try and make it so that they appear to have some vested interest in it. Even if it has nothing to do with them, they should think that it does, because otherwise they have no motivation to justify and legitimize your insane war plans, basically. And if we go to the 90% victory, this reminds me what happened in the Second World War. If you go to Moscow now, you got what they call the Seven Sisters. These Stalin skyscrapers, including Moscow State University, and you got other different ones. Do you know what they're made of?
No.
They are made from German materials that were shipped from Germany to outside Moscow to build these triumphant buildings, right, to commemorate the German victory over the Soviet Union. So, I mean, parallels are quite interesting.
Yeah. I just see that Biden is ready to agree to use long-range weapons as long as they aren't American ones. I'm just reading from that story, though. So you're on your own, Britain.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is like Pontius Pilate. He's trying to wash his hands of it. Of course, I mean, Zelensky's already proved utterly unreliable because, I mean, ATACMS, I don't know if he has many of them, although they will be relying on US operators to function. But, I mean, they've already shown that, I mean, these things are not being used primarily against military targets, but rather civilian targets or such specific targets as nuclear power plants in Kursk, yeah, Zaporozhye, for example.
Wow. All right. There are some issues. You might want to make a quick comment about this, but we're kind of up against time. AUKUS in talks with Canada, Japan and New Zealand, the partners Australia, Britain and the United States said on Wednesday they are in discussions with Canada, Japan and New Zealand about potential collaboration on defence technology projects. Seems to be a real push for that because Blinken, yeah, was talking up how Ukraine could be this incredible industrial military complex country. Should we be talking to them about this, or should we stay away from all of that, do you think, Greg?
No, you stay away from it because you see the results when you start getting locked into these. The Ukrainianization process follows pretty quickly afterwards. And, of course, if we're looking at the Indo-Pacific area, this Ukrainianization is aimed at vassal and client states to be sacrificed against China.
Yeah. All right, we'll leave it there. Greg Simons, thanks for beaming in again from Sweden for that chat. And, it's frog in the pot, isn't it? It just keeps getting
very much
hotter. Yeah. And I was starting to feel the heat, obviously, a while back, but it's getting warmer. But it's not quite at the boiling yet.
Not far from it. But, yeah, well, hopefully some common sense can come to the fore. For example, will there be any changes after November? A cooling down, perhaps? That remains to be seen. Because, I mean, the whole premise at the moment is for the Democrats not to be seen to lose a war. And that means escalating for not very good reasons, other than political vanity and appearance.
So timing's everything, really.
Yes.
Greg Simons, thanks again. We'll talk again soon.
For sure. Look forward to it.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.